It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com. Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. I'm Patty Hawley, filling in for Dr. Jasinski this month. Today, we'll talk to Teresa Fankhauser, Executive Director of the St. Joseph Allied Arts Council. Then we'll visit with Dr. Deb Toomey, Assistant Professor of Marketing at Northwest, and Avery Bronner and Austin Nell, senior students at Northwest. They'll be discussing their recent study abroad experience in Ireland. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Teresa Fankhauser. Teresa joined the Allied Arts Council in 2005. As executive director, Teresa works with local arts agencies, Missouri Western State University, the City of St. Joseph, and the St. Joseph School District to foster the arts in St. Joseph. Her position includes working with local, state, and national organizations and agencies to effect positive changes for the arts. She currently serves on the Community Improvement District Board. She's a member of the Americans for the Art and the Arts Action Fund. She's past president of Missouri Citizens for the Arts, past president of the Missouri Association of Community Arts Agencies, and has served as a Missouri Arts Council panelist and Downtown Rotary Board member. Prior to joining the Allied Arts Council, she served as managing director of the Performing Arts Association of St. Joseph and was co-owner of the Ice House Theater with her husband. Teresa has a BS in education with a speech theater emphasis from Missouri Western State University. Can you tell me what is the mission of the Allied Arts Council?
It's a very simple mission. Our mission is about bringing arts and people together. And we do that in numerous ways.
Tell me some of the programs that you use to do that.
You bet. We do a lot of different things. One of the things that we do, we serve as an umbrella organization to 16 arts and cultural organizations in St. Joseph, with members throughout Northwest Missouri. And our goal there is to support them through, we have a grant program where they can apply for funding. We also support their marketing efforts by, we've created arts calendars and a Missouri theater calendar so that people that are looking for something to do can go to our website, stjoearts.org, to find what arts activities are available. In addition to what we do for our members, we actually have extended that to all of Northwest Missouri. So if there's an arts event going on, it's an interactive calendar that people can go to and actually submit their own events. We find that very important because and Northwest, for example, they will put their activities on our website as well, which helps us know what's going on, and we can help re-post that on our Facebook page or tweet it out with our Twitter, because we really want to be a service not only to our member agencies, but anytime there's an art activity, we want to be there and support it to help get the word out.
And there are 16 arts agencies?
Yes, we have 16 member agencies in St. Joe. Mm-hmm.
Such as what?
The St. Joseph Symphony, Ribidi Resident Theater, Creative Arts Production, which is a children's theater camp. We have River Song, which is a women's a cappella group, St. Joseph Community Chorus. But then we also have the St. Joseph Pony Express Figure Skaters Club, which is also an art form. We have the Runcie Club, which is a ladies' organization founded, I'm not positive, then they would be really mad at me. But back in, I'm going to say the 20s, possibly before. And it's all about the education of women and bringing, looking at the humanities and public events of the day to help educate women, which is a wonderful organization. So in addition to the performing arts, we also, the St. Joseph Museum is a cultural member of our organization as well.
So it's the whole range of arts.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now you say these members will apply for grants. Where does that money come from?
That money comes from, the majority of it comes from individuals. We do receive some money from the City of St. Joseph and from the Buchanan County, as well as our business partners, the business community, as well as the government in St. Joseph really support the arts. They understand the importance not only from a quality of life issue, but from an economic development point of view as well. But the lion's share comes from individual contributions. And those range from, you know, $5 up to, you know, $1,000 or so. And each one is equally important because it's those little donations, those small, you know, $5 to $50 donations that really take us over and make up the lion's share of the donations that we receive.
Now, you have a big event coming up.
We do. Yeah, I think it's on my calendar.
Now, is this a fundraiser?
No, it actually is a program of the Allied Arts Council. Charles West Festival, celebrating its 26th year. It's a program that fulfills our mission of bringing arts and people together. It's a three-day arts and music festival that celebrates the arts and celebrates our cultural heritage. And so although it's not a fundraiser per se, on good years, it's a program that actually makes money for the council, which allows us to provide all of the other services that we do and other programs that we have.
You say it started 26 years ago.
26 years ago, yes. It started as a celebration of the city. The city council wanted to do something big for our sesquicentennial. And so the Allied Arts Council had been talking about creating a festival. And so the two got together, if you will, and magic happened. So the city supported us through some financial help, as they still do today, as well as all of the support, you know, the properties, the grounds, Parks Department very much involved in all of this, the services that we need to produce the festival each year.
Where is it?
It's at Civic Center Park, which, if you're not familiar, it's actually this beautiful Victorian era, 1920s era park, but it's got a Victorian feel to it, right behind our City Hall, which was built in the 1920s. And so it's a beautiful park. It's in the middle of the city, we just have a fine art, folk art. We like to say culinary art, which means we have food vendors with really good food. We also have a lot of demonstrators. This year we're going to have a glass blower who will be demonstrating the art of glass blowing. We also hope to, we're in negotiations right now, with a blacksmith so that people can see that art form that, you know, you don't really get to see much anymore. So we're really excited about that. The St. Joseph Woodworkers Guild, they also are there over the weekend demonstrating their craft. And it's really fascinating because it's not a lost art. It's very much an art that people are still doing and practicing. And their mission is to expose people to that art so that more people will take up woodworking.
What about the entertainment for this year? Who do you have coming?
Oh, we're very excited. This year, on Friday night, we have the Robert Randolph Family Band. They are a blues, funk, jazz, high energy band that, you know, one of the criticisms, well, I've never heard of them. Well, that's part of what we do. We want to expose people to things they haven't necessarily heard of. And so if you haven't, I encourage you to Google them, listen to the music, and you're going to want to come down and see the performance. Those of you who are familiar with this masterful genius will definitely want to be there. You know, you think of steel guitar as country, and he uses the steel guitar masterfully and creates a very different sound than what we're used to.
Who else do you have?
Well, we also have on Saturday night, we have a very new young woman, Farron Rachels. She's a young country artist just starting out, beautiful voice, and she is opening for Chase Rice. He's been a songwriter in Nashville for a number of years, and then he went out on his own, and he's had some success himself. Ready, Set, Go made it to number 5, and he has another one that made it to number 2 on the chart. So people are very excited to see him. That's one of those that, yes, we know who he is, and we want to see him.
Is this a family-friendly event?
Absolutely. We absolutely have a family. It's a family-friendly event. We have a lot of activities for children. In addition to the concerts, I think it's good to bring kids to concerts. I think that's how they learn and grow and develop tastes. But we also have a family stage, which is specifically geared towards family and children. A lot of different types of things we have for them. I know one's called the whip guy, where he does the bull whip, you know, and kids always like that. And then we have children's art activities that the Youth Alliance, which is a nonprofit social service organization, they are man that for us and come up with all kinds of creative things for the kids to create and take with them. We have a sensory garden there. Kids can play in the sand and the corn. We have kids can create their own sand bottles. They're little bottles that you can fill with different colored sands to take home as a keepsake. So a lot of different things for kids to do.
How have you seen Trails West change over the years?
Wow. You know, it continues to amaze me every year. And, you know, we've kept true to the mission. But we've made some changes to accommodate people. For example, this year we're doing Friday and Saturday night entertainment, but Sunday the festival is going to go from 11 to 4. And the reason is that schools, you know, when we first started, most schools didn't start till after Labor Day. And now they're opening and they're starting the week before the festival, which makes it hard for kids and parents to participate and come out, especially on Sunday. They're still figuring out that school routine that's back. And so we've made those changes. But this year, one of our biggest changes is that we're not doing buttons. That was your admission, buttons, for 25 years. And what we found is that it a lot of people didn't like the buttons. They didn't want to have to wear the buttons. It was stuck in their clothes. You know, in summertime, your clothes are a little thinner. And so what we decided to go with, we did a little research. What are other festivals doing? And everybody's gone to a wristband. So we're selling tickets that will then be redeemed for a wristband that will be put on you when you arrive. And those, if you buy it in advance, it's a 2-day wristband for $15. That gets you in both Friday and Saturday. Or you can, if you just want to come, say, to see Chase Rice on Saturday, you can, the day of the event, buy a $10 wristband.
So your wristband gets you in to enjoy all of the art, all of the activities
Absolutely.
That are going on, and the concerts.
And the concerts, yes. And a lot of people, especially people from outside of our community, will call up and say, okay, well, how much is it? And we'll tell them, and they'll say, okay, so it's $15 to get into the festival. How much is it to see the concert? And you'll say, you know, nothing, that's included with your ticket. So it's a really great deal for everything that you want to do. And this year, St. Joseph is celebrating its 175th anniversary. So on Sunday, in celebration of that, the festival will be free. So people can come and enjoy, you know, basically it's going to be an afternoon in the park. They'll have the fine artists and folk artists there, food vendors, of course. We'll have children's activities and some side stage entertainment as well. So it's just going to be a nice leisurely day at Civic Center Park.
Why is it so important to have events like this and to have the arts in a community?
The arts define a community. They really do. The arts, it's all about creating community, and the arts help bring people together in ways that other things don't, because it elicits conversations on what is the art and they're very personal as well, because everyone has their own style that they like. And that's important. A community can have excellent schools and excellent streets and a good economy, but part of that equation that makes life worth living are the quality of the arts that you have to offer. And so it really is important, and that is as old as time. It really is as old as time. If you look back on through history, you know, caveman dwellings, what did they have on their walls? They had art. It was a form of communication. It's part of our makeup. It's part of our DNA is to create. And so that's what we do, and that's what we want to foster as a service to all of Northwest Missouri.
Teresa, thank you very much for coming up and for joining us here at All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Northwest's Dr. Deb Toomey and students Avery Bronner and Austin Nell. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. NCED Business Support Team is at your service, or at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com.
Welcome back to the August edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, Patty Hawley, filling in for Dr. John Chasinski today. We'll now visit with Dr. Deb Toomey, Avery Bronner, and Austin Nell. Dr. Toomey started her career at Northwest Missouri State University in 1997, first as the coordinator of student orientation and transfer affairs, then as the first ever assistant director of student advisement, and then the associate director of admissions for operations. While working as an administrator, Deb also taught as an adjunct faculty member at night. In the fall of 2006, she began teaching full-time as an instructor of marketing in the Department of Marketing and Management. Gaining her doctorate was always the plan, so after her first term teaching full-time, she applied to begin her doctorate of business administration in the summer of 2007. In the summer of 2011, Deb graduated with her doctorate from Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana, and started as a tenure-track faculty member. Due to many opportunities, Dr. Toomey has served many roles at Northwest, from building the SOAR orientation and advisement programs, acting as MC for the fall and spring all-employee meeting, to being a provost fellow and teaching students from university seminar through graduate school. She has also been serving as the School of Business representative for the NACTIV program since 2012, the second year of its existence. Avery Bronner is a senior at Northwest Missouri State University from Kearney, Missouri, and she's majoring in communications, public relations, with a minor in advertising. Avery is very active on the Northwest campus, serving as vice president of public relations and programming on the Panhellenic Council, Greek Life Intern, member of Ad Inc., Lambda Pi Eta, Order of Omega, and Northwest Student Ambassadors. Austin Nell is from St. Joseph, Missouri. He joined the Northwest family in 2014 as a freshman studying international business. He's now a senior completing his last semester and plans to graduate this December. He currently holds a position with the Booth School of Business Ambassadors. Dr. Toomey, tell us about the Ireland Study Internship Abroad program that 20 students participated.
Okay, so this planning started about 2 years ago, actually, and we had heard about this possibility of having students intern while abroad. And we were pretty common for us to take students abroad and do a study abroad program, but this was the first time that we'd actually had a program that was built around internship. And so 20 students were part of our initial group of students to do this. And it was just a fantastic, I can't explain how awesome the whole experience was.
And it was through the Booth School of Business?
Right, it was through the Booth School of Business. We did have some students that were not business majors, but the majority of them were. But all the internships were business focused. But 20 different internships for our students and through the Booth School of Business, yes.
How did you decide to go ahead and pursue this program?
I think when I first heard about the possibility, it just really made me think about how this would provide a competitive advantage for our students, something that when they are out there in the job market going against other students from other schools, that our students would have something unique on their resume. And the internship abroad, when I first heard, was just... it was fascinating to me. It was interesting. I had actually completed an internship abroad many years ago, and it was in London, and I really enjoyed that experience, and I wanted to do something similar.
Why Ireland?
Why not Ireland? I mean, really, Ireland was one of the reasons, just purely selfish, was I really wanted to go to Ireland. I knew that... Anytime that I mentioned the location, a lot of people were interested in that. I wanted to make sure that we picked a location that people wanted to go to, because if we picked somewhere that was less desirable or less popular, maybe, that we might not get the same group of students. So that we did pick a good one, I should say. We picked a really good location, and I think some of the students picked it because of the location.
What were the components of this program?
Okay, so the program started with just a general acclimation to the community. We had 2 weeks of morning class time, discussion time, and then afternoon excursions, and we went to various different locations, from museums to we hiked a hill. It was pretty big hill, but we hiked a hill, and which overlooked Dublin. And then we also, of course, had to go to the Guinness storehouse for their tour. So we did those things in the afternoon. During that whole time, the students were using the public transportation system, getting used to the area, so that when they actually did start their internship, they felt more comfortable navigating everything to get to that location.
How long was this program?
The students were in Ireland for 8 weeks. So we had 2 weeks of the coursework acclimation time, your typical study abroad, and then 6 weeks of internship.
Did you have a favorite part of Ireland?
Oh gosh, everything. Everything was great. We just really enjoyed everything, from even the housing that the company put us in, to... other than our initial flight out, which we had a six-hour delay in Atlanta, other than that, everything was pretty much spot on. It was brilliant, they might say.
Do you have a favorite moment with the students?
Oh, absolutely. So the students were there for 8 weeks, but we were only there for 2 weeks. My husband and I were there for the first 2 weeks. And so it was at the end of our time that was my favorite.
The program seems like an incredible opportunity. How can we get more students to take advantage of this?
I think everybody knows that it's a great opportunity. It's expensive. And if we could provide more assistance for students, I think we would get more students involved.
Okay.
So I think that if we could do anything, the students want to participate. And I think that would help to incentivize it.
Okay. We've heard the official word. Let's hear from you two, Avery and Austin, about the nuts and bolts of it. First, let's start with Avery. Why did you decide to participate in the program?
Dev can even speak to this a little bit. I was a late joiner, like 2 days before the application was due. I decided to start it, and I actually freaked her out. First time I met Deb, she goes, "You're the application that came in on my desk literally 2 days before." And I was like, "Yeah." And I was really nervous to meet her because I was a little bit behind. But I was hanging out with a girl that went on the program, Christy Briggs. We were at an advertising conference as a part of Eddie Inc. And she was talking about it at the end of the table, and I kind of heard her. And she was like, "Yeah, I'm going to Dublin, like rather than like doing an actual like long like semester abroad." And she was just talking about it, and I was like, "That actually sounds kind of cool." And then I went online that night after I got home from Spark KC, and I looked at the application. I was like, "If I can get this done in 2 days, I will go." And so I contacted all of my advisors, because I'm a double major, and I contacted all my advisors. I contacted just different professors for the reference part, because that was what I was afraid was going to take the most time. And getting it all done, everyone was super supportive. All my professors were like, "You should do it. Like, you would love this." And I do not regret a single thing. Being rushed through the application, it was stressful, but I literally ran around campus. I had to find the study abroad people, because they're in the union for like a fair that was going on. They weren't even in their offices, so I had to run back and forth and try to find everyone. And it was very stressful, but I got it all done, and Deb didn't kill me, so it was cool.
I was glad she made it.
What about you, Austin? Why did you decide?
I had a very different application experience. I started way earlier in the process, and I don't know how she rushed through that in 2 weeks, because it was just very stressful for me. But mine was more of a requirement, actually. I'm an international business major, so we are required to study abroad. But when I heard about this program, specifically Ireland, like Deb said, it is, it's just one of those spots everyone always wants to go to. It's one of those experiences everyone wants to have. And so that was kind of my drive to go with this specific program rather than a different one. And then I've had Deb before as a professor, and it's just, she's always been great. So I knew that this specific program was going to be unlike any other one that I could have chosen.
Okay. What were you hoping to gain from this experience?
I was hoping to gain, like Deb said earlier, a competitive advantage. With an international business being my major, you can't not do something like this. You have to have that sort of internship abroad or something that's really going to set you apart. But I wanted to have the experience with the other students. You don't always get that chance to go abroad and study with 20 other of your students. I think that's what I was wanting the most, was definitely that interesting experience that not many people get to have.
For me, it was really just kind of, again, like the competitive advantage, but just in the aspect where I've had multiple internships before, but it was always kind of in the same thing. I was doing marketing and promotions, and I'm a communication major, so being on this side, we go with Jackie Lamer all the time, and if you've ever met Jackie, she kind of like, she stresses you out in the way that it makes you want to strive for more. So I wanted something more to stand out, because I'm going to start applying for jobs and hopefully advertising agencies, and getting into those kind of positions is really stressful. And so I was just kind of looking for something to kind of give myself that step up, and getting the internship I did and getting the placement I did, I definitely got that out of this. So,
how did your experience differ from what you expected it to be? Or did it?
For me, I had absolutely no idea what I was going into. Like, in my head, what I thought this whole program was going to be way different. Like, down to even our apartment placements. I remember looking online, we all did, and we were like, "Wow." And like, we all thought we were going to have these huge king beds to ourselves, and like, down to the, and even class with Deb, I thought it was just going to be way different setup. Like, we're in this building called the CHQ, which is basically kind of like a professional union. Like, it was way different setup for that. So down to everything with classes. And then meeting my boss in my internship, I thought it was going to be this thing where I was going to have to show up and I had to be in a suit and like everything. Like, I took way too professional clothes for my setup, because that was another thing too. Mine was, what was it, smart casual or something like that. And I was like, I don't know what that meant. I even went to Deb's office and I was like, I don't know what smart casual means. So I was like, okay. So I remember showing up and I met my two supervisors, and me and my main supervisor, we ended up becoming like best friends, and she was 38 years old, still the coolest woman I've ever met in my entire life. And like, we still text and she'll still post things and she'll send me things. Do you like this? And I'm like, yes, I do. And she's so cute. So like, just things like that, down to the relationships I got out of the office experience, is amazing. And it's just not anything I could have expected out of it. Even the weekend trips and like how close I got with everybody from our program, I did not really know anyone going into it. I knew a couple people from classes or sorority, something like that. But like, even Austin, I didn't know Austin beforehand, but we ended up hanging out a couple times and we all became really close. So by the last day, we were all crying and everybody was sad, and it was really awesome. So,
was it what you expected, Austin?
It was not what I expected. I actually had a similar difference in the workplace. I was expecting a little bit more of the professional. I mean, I also brought a suit. I bought way too much professional clothing. I expected to go into the office and it'd be work, work, work all day long. But it was so much different. Everyone there was so nice. We would stop in the middle of the day for 20 minutes. That wasn't even our break, and just kind of chat with each other and really get to know each other. So it was a good difference, but it was not what I was expecting from an internship position. It was nice though.
Where did you intern, and what were your responsibilities while you were there?
I interned with a company called 53 Degrees North. They're very similar to like REI from here in the States, but they are Irish micro company over in Ireland. Their headquarters is based out of Dublin, but they own three storefronts throughout Ireland, in Cork, Blanche, and Carrick Mines. And Carrick Mines was the closest store, so that was the storefront I got to visit the most often. But I was based out of the headquarters with my supervisors, and since they were a micro company, everybody basically had like one position. So I worked closely with the social media marketing side. They never had an intern before, but they're like, your title can be just social media intern. So I was like, and that's all I did. So it fit very well, but I worked directly with the social media coordinator for 53. So.
Awesome. And my position was, I worked for a company called Prime Steak Limited. And so this was the company that owned it was three buildings. Inside of those three buildings, we controlled five restaurants and two bars. So my specific job the entire time I was there I was working with our events coordinator. So we'd have anywhere from a group of 10 people to a group of 200 people. And so we had to manage the group that was coming in. We had to prepare menus, we had to give them any sort of audio-visual that they might need. And that was my main job, and then we did just some basic reporting on our events. We ran some social media stuff with our marketing team, or just down to just basic office work that was picking up phones and taking reservations.
Did you notice differences between the work culture in the United States versus the work culture in Ireland?
Yes, I would say the biggest thing I noticed was, I had kind of mentioned it earlier, we took that break in the middle of the day that was 20 minutes. It's so much more relaxed. Everyone is kind of just a little bit easier going, it seemed like. But I think a lot of that has to do with the way that Ireland kind of views their perception of time. I was given the first day of my break. They were like, yeah, just go take your break. I was like, okay, like, when do you want me back? Oh, you know, whenever. It wasn't formal. I was allowed to go and leave in the middle of the day to go get lunch and take my time with it, do anything else that I needed to do. It was just so much more relaxed, so much more easygoing. But it was also, they still got the work done. They were still able to do the things that they needed to do while still having that easygoing kind of work style.
I agree with Austin in the way that the time thing is a lot different, because everything I thought that I would be having, because like at the beginning we were told like we would have kind of regular office hour days. So I was thinking like 9 to 5 typical office hour days, like back in the States. But there, I remember the very first day they're like, okay. I was like, okay, what time do you want me in tomorrow? Because the first day you go in and you kind of meet your supervisors. We got to go in a little bit later, and they just kind of introduced me to the company, and then they kind of let me go. And so talking to them, I was like, when do you want me back tomorrow? And they're like, and they kind of like my two bosses, Kiva and Ben, they looked at each other and they're like, half 10. half 10, 11, so that's like 10:30. And so they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, do I come in at, like, the, I remember the thinking the next morning, I was like, because I had to catch a bus that was 45 minutes. I was like, do I go in at half 10 or do I go in at 11? So I just kind of sat there. So I went for the earlier time still, but everything was so relaxed and like the long lunches and everything. That kind of freaked me out too, because I was like, okay, do I get like 30 minutes? Do I get an hour? Like, what do you want? And they're like, oh, take your time. And like, even my boss, she'd randomly get up and she's like, I gotta stretch my legs, so I'm just gonna go walk down to the shops and go grab a coffee. And she'd just get up and leave. And so I'm like, okay. And just even talking around the office, there's one guy, he worked with accounts, he'd always yell back and forth with me and always make fun of me and just kind of like very relaxed, and everyone curses like every other word there, and it's a little bit more out there than I was expecting. I was expecting something so much more professional, but I think that's even something I'm not expecting for like real life professions, since I've never worked in a like a real office before. Like, I've had internships with like radio stations in Kansas City, and even with the university, everything's just kind of not prepared me, I don't think, for to realize that it's going to be a lot more relaxed than what I think I'm expecting in my head. So, yeah.
Did you see cultural differences outside of the workplace?
Yeah, there was. I don't know, it kind of always comes back to a little bit more of an easygoing time. Everyone, Ireland is known for their drinking, so everyone does go out. I mean, it was that culture. We were in Dublin, so it kind of has that touristy feel still. But you'd still go out and you'd meet locals that were leaving straight from work, going to the bars, and it was, in the city, it was so much more relaxed, and everyone was so nice. You could talk to anyone on the buses, on the transportation, while you're waiting for transportation. I had conversations with several people. So it was nice having that kind of approachable feel, which sometimes you go to bigger cities, sometimes here, and you don't always feel that.
Yeah, I would agree. Outside of the workplace, everybody is nice except for the bikers. I would, and I don't mean like motorcycle bikers, but bicyclists. How do you say that? That's such a hard word. So cut that out or leave it in. But I can't pronounce it. I'm not going to try. But yeah, they would just fly by you. And so those are the most aggressive people that you really met. But that's because even though everybody was relaxed on time, everybody was always running late. So sometimes they'd look really stressed and flustered. So you just have to let them like kind of run by you. And I feel like bicyclists were the ones that always seemed to be going running late, and that was just something always funny. But another thing I noticed just being abroad was everybody walks everywhere, and that's not I guess that's just an American thing that we just don't. I feel like even walking from my house, it's like a 5-minute walk to campus, and I'm like, I do not want to do this. But like there, I got used to like walking 30 minutes was not that big of a deal, and you just kind of get used to going everything on foot, down to like Google Maps is so specific over there. Like, it takes you through like weird alleys and stuff like that. It's just like the walking culture is way bigger. So and I remember one of the first days, one of our API leaders, she made us walk to, I can't even remember what location, but we were all like, oh my gosh, are we gonna stop soon, because we're all that stressed out. But they're just a little bit more relaxed with how they transport and everything like that. But everybody is super nice, like talking to anyone. You did not feel uncomfortable. It wasn't creepy or weird. And just people would just start talking to you on like public transportation. You're just like, oh yeah, I had to get a lot more used to not wearing my headphones everywhere, because people would just start talking to you and you'd be like, me? You're talking to me? Okay. So yeah.
What was your biggest challenge?
The accents.
it took
a while.
The accents were very difficult at first. I actually watched a video on YouTube the other day, and it was with some Irish people, and it was strange how easily I was just like, oh, I know. Before I left, it was so hard for me to understand, but now I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what they said. But another biggest challenge I had was at work with our reservation systems. I would have to enter names, and I don't know if you've ever seen some Irish names. They can be very, very strange, and when I mean strange, in the spelling of them. So it's the little things like that, the accents and the difference in names and just like the subtle things, it could be the biggest challenges in getting to know the difference.
Did you have any challenges?
Well, the names, I agree. I was really nervous because my first day I saw the way you pronounce my boss's name, and her name's Kiva, and thank God they put that in parentheses next to it, because you spell Kiva C-A-I-O-H-M-E. And so I was like, saw that, and I was like, I don't know how to say hello. Do I just say hi? And then I hope that she says, hi, my name's Kiva, or whatever. But I just saw that, and they put it in parentheses next to it, and they were like, you pronounce it this way. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that was a definite, the name thing, it took a while to get used to. But out of my internship with challenges, I was got into a relaxed routine with things, but I definitely got pushed very much creatively. My internship supervisor actually told me that I was originally not supposed to be the intern that she was assigned to. She actually ended up seeing my cover letter and resume come in a little bit after they had already got an intern assigned to them. And I'm a communications major, I'm an advertising minor. Creativity is kind of where the direction I hope to be going into. So I like my resume to pop a little bit, and that's one thing. Jackie Lamer, again, talking about her. But she's something that always kind of made us think about is that's kind of your branding, the brand yourself. So I made them match each other, and I kind of really put specifically that I wanted to work creative side, working with social media. So she ended up picking me because she kind of wanted that push for creativity. And after the first week, second week, I got a little bit more comfortable. She ended up asking a little bit more of me because she just trusted my ability. I didn't have to ask her before I posted things anymore because I ran the social media every single day. I'd have to post 3 Instagram posts and go through, tag everyone. And so she started asking a little bit more with my creativity and just asking more for my opinions. And even we do in-store photo shoots once a week. And so I'd have to come up with the idea of what we're gonna be shooting the whole next day. So I'd have to sit there and create boards for it. And then even with my editing, I had a little bit of background knowledge from media design class with Jody Strouch, and having that little bit of Photoshop experience, I was okay, I know a little bit, but I think she thought I knew a lot more. So she'd ask me to do these tasks that in my head I was I don't know if I can do this. I don't want to disappoint her, because then she's gonna have to give it to Ben and we're gonna have to rework it and stuff. And it always made me a little bit nervous, but things ended up working out, and the ideas that I got to see come to life by the end of my internship is awesome. And even today, she pushes herself more, and she'll message me and she'll say, oh, do you like this and stuff like that. And so it's stuff that we got to play off of each other. And it was definitely hard at first, because I would get so frustrated with myself trying to come up with something new and creative. And I'm just I don't know if this is the right thing. But by the end of it, it really clicked with me. So it was definitely a frustrating but rewarding experience for that. So
I think one of the biggest challenges I also had, and I think kind of everyone has it, it's going through the culture shock of it all. I can't speak for everyone, of course, but I didn't feel I went through as much culture shock because I had traveled abroad before. But you do get kind of scared sometimes. You do get kind of lonely. Even though we are there with 20 other students, you don't have that comfort of being at home, and you don't have that comfort of knowing what you're going to might be doing the next day. Or I mean, we did have work, but you never know what you're going to do outside of work. So getting to work through those feelings and try and understand different cultures, it could be a challenge and it could be hard, but it's also very, very exciting. It was probably one of the most exciting things was getting to realize all these things that you may not know before and some things that might have scared you.
I would also like to say that in general, the internship program is something that a lot of the Irish were unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. They were really surprised that these students were going to come work for them for free, because they're international students, so they're not allowed to be paid. And so I think that every single one of the interns had to overcome that challenge of having to explain to their supervisor that, no, I'm here to do real work. Please do allow me to do real work. And so there was early on in reading some of the journals that happened to a lot of the students, where the supervisor felt guilty asking them to do the job because they weren't being paid. But at the same time, that's what the students were there for.
Were the supervisors generally pleased?
Oh, absolutely. I just finished, we just had our last deadline for the class. Just finished reviewing all the supervisor final evaluations, asking them to come back, would love to have them employed with them, absolutely just astonished at the quality of work the students were doing. I think every single student's evaluation was glowing, would be to minimize it. So very, very happy with the whole program.
Avery and Austin, do you have a favorite memory of Ireland outside of your internship?
I think my favorite memory was actually the first night we were there. A lot of us went out the first night, and it was, which is kind of crazy because we had a crazy 6-hour delay at the Atlanta airport. We got in way behind schedule, but we all kind of pushed through, and I think about 10 to 15 of us decided to end up going out that night altogether. And
I really didn't know that many people. I had one really good friend that went with me. I had one person that I'd had in a class before, but that was it. So that first night was honestly amazing because we just got to meet everyone. We got to talk to everyone. You got to sit down and really get to know them. So I think that was my favorite memory, honestly. The whole trip was incredible, but really that first night, getting to know everyone and getting to realize what this experience was going to be in the long run, it was pretty incredible.
Just so I won't share the same memory, because I did love that first night. Mine would actually, in opposite, it was the last night there, just kind of, we all had a farewell dinner, starting off with two of our API leaders, Emily and Sarah. And after the dinner, we all kind of went and we kind of went where we were comfortable. So I went with a group of girls that I had come really close with over the weeks. We started by, in the middle of it, there's a thing called in Ireland, which is amazing, called a bank holiday, where you get that first Monday of the month off for just to kind of enjoy your time. And I wanted to go to this music festival really bad. So these group of girls, which I kind of knew, didn't really know, they ended up joining me. And I was like, okay, I have people to go with. After that, me and that group of girls, we became pretty close. And the very last night, we decided we were going to walk home from the restaurant. And so we stopped and we got one drink and we just had the kind of last cheers or sláinte to Ireland. And we walked all the way down next to the Liffey, which is like the canal river that goes into the sea. And we walked next to it. And then we just sat outside and we all just kind of like talked about our time there and stared at the Samuel Beckett Bridge, which is this huge white bridge that is just right next to our flats. And we just kind of talked, and Devin, she could not stop crying. She was one girl, and so we all kind of made fun of her. But by the end, we were all kind of just like sad and emotional, and it was a hilarious night. We just sat around and joked and just talked about everything, and just kind of sitting there and having that moment that we have come this far, just because like my personal growth, likewise there, I came back and I met with my advisor the very first week back, and he said, yeah, I can just tell there's something different about you. And I feel like I definitely grew, and like having that moment of like realization, it was while I was sitting there just staring at the bridge, and it was one of the coolest things. So.
So what's next for you?
For me, I have my senior year coming up. So yeah, coming home, I'm just kind of work and hang out for the rest of the summer, but then I kind of hit it hard with my last year, finishing out things on campus. Got to wrap up just things with that I'm involved in, so kind of saying goodbye to my last year at Northwest. It is one of the saddest things I think I'll ever have to go through. Like, I do not, me and my roommates constantly are just like, if someone brings up senior year, we're like, nope, stop talking about it, stop, like, we don't want to do it. But I'm interning this fall on campus with the Greek Life office, and then I'm going to start sadly applying for my future job. And I don't know what I'm gonna do really. I hope to go into advertising. That's kind of always been my plan. So I'm gonna start doing more stuff with adding, getting back with that group so I can start getting more involved with the Kansas City area and advertising agencies, and kind of hope for the best, keep my fingers crossed. I'm gonna be in Jackie Lamer's office a lot. So I've mentioned her so many times on this talk show.
But hopefully that'll cause,
yeah, Jackie, if you're listening. yeah, no, so that's kind of my plan now. It's still a lot up in the air. I'm going to apply to different cities, but Kansas City is most likely where I'll end up. So just looking ahead for that, that's probably my game plan for now.
All right, Austin?
My long-term game plan is actually kind of similar. This is my final semester, the fall semester. Then I graduate, and after that I do kind of want to get down to the Kansas City area. It's a little bit of a better market for my major, which is international business. And in long term, I kind of want to work for a company that's going to get me internationally for a little bit. I would like to do that for 10 to 15 years, kind of, if possible, get to travel around, get to work in a bunch of different places, and then bring what I learn home. And I actually do want to bring it back home to Kansas City and kind of stay around Kansas City and see what I can do here.
Well, Avery and Austin, good luck to you. It's been a pleasure to hear about your experiences. And Deb, thank you for joining us on All Things Northwest.
Certainly.
Big shout out to Deb.
Yeah, shout out Deb to me. And Rick. Don't forget
Rick to me.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Teresa Fankhauser, Dr. Deb Toomey, Avery Bronner, and Austin Nell. Thanks, too, to our producer, Austin Hall, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCB KRNW General Manager, Rodney Harris. We here at Northwest focus on student success. thanks for assisting us in enhancing our focus on students through your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV, KRNW, and Public Radio. For President John Chasinski, I'm Patty Hawley. Thank you for joining us.